You said, babe, we need you full time on Next Block. So I just quit my job. And so I did have to finally admit that I'm a Bitcoin podcaster.
Assuming that it's dying, what's going to replace it? What's the thing that comes after it?
So much nonsense. So many assumptions.
So if Elon wanted to do that on Next Block, he would have to pay.
They're earning magical internet money to be able to spend it out to content creators. You're listening to Flirting with Bitcoin, a weekly chat with my very interesting husband about Bitcoin and how the world and our family's life is better because of it.
It's season 4 and we've moved to Noster City.
So my Bitcoin lessons are done?
Your Bitcoin lessons are never done.
So what does new social media have to do with it?
Babe, Noster is more than social media. If Bitcoin is the new money, Noster is the new internet.
You really think so?
I do. I believe Noster will drive the next wave of Bitcoin adoption. So Noster City is where we need to be.
We?
Yeah, of course we're bringing Keon. You got your bags packed, buddy?
Yes.
Good job. Don't forget to pack your NPub.
Let's go. Hey, Ian.
Hey, Mandana.
So I just quit my job. Ian's actually making it rain right now.
We got comments that we don't use the soundboard enough, so shout out to Ken Laser.
Yay, we got what we wanted. And also, if you were making it rain right now, would it be raining fake Bitcoin? What? How do Bitcoiners make it rain?
We don't.
We don't. We save, stack, and hold.
Save that money.
But yeah, I quit my job. I'm still employed, but I gave my notice. I told people today at work that I quit.
You gone.
I'm gone, but I did not rage quit like you did.
I didn't rage quit. I just said I'm no longer doing this.
Yes, in the same day.
That's when I decided. They knew what was up. No one questioned.
Yeah, my coworkers had a lot of questions. And of course, like the big one is like, I don't understand. What are you going to go do? What are you doing? And so I did have to finally admit that I'm a Bitcoin podcaster.
I don't know which is worse. Like, I'm a Bitcoin podcaster or I'm just a podcaster.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about it that way.
Yeah, they're like, oh, she's got a podcast.
I know.
Everyone's got a podcast.
I have to be honest, like even saying the word Bitcoin during work hours was so weird. I've had a lot of conversations with people because everyone's just so curious and the conversation cannot be avoided to say, yeah, I actually do a podcast with my husband. We've been doing it for a few years. Actually, we started this business last year. It's an idea we've been working on for a whole year. Yeah, we're going to launch the proof of concept app in May. Yeah, it's the new social media app. Yeah, it's a really big idea. We're going to pay people to watch ads. It's pretty revolutionary. It's like it is not at all how the conversation started. But I guess this is my life now. This is what I talk about when I talk to people.
You know, I've been using the joke from The Office where he's like, you have no idea how high I'll fly.
Yeah.
that's literally what this is.
Yeah.
Work Mandana introduced real Mandana to her coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, oh, wow, okay.
I know.
Whatever they thought about you or whatever inclinations or preconceived notions, when you put that on the table, they're probably all like, we have no idea who this person is.
I did not mean it that way at all.
It's not in a bad way. Yeah, it's just absolutely. Like, that's what
you
work
have no
does.
Idea how high I can fly. I mean, I'm very appreciated and celebrated at my job, which I think is like a rare experience for a lot of people, but I've always worked somewhere that's really just valued my insights and my opinions on things. And I get a lot of free rein to do whatever I want. And so it is really nice that there's a sense of respect in those conversations where they're not like, oh, that stuff's crazy. I don't know. They're like, oh, wait, tell me more about it. What do you mean? And so from those conversations, the podcast has come up. So if you're listening, because you heard I quit. Welcome to the pod. I think this episode is one where I really want to explain what we're trying to do with Next Block. I know we're doing that every episode, but I really believe what you and I are doing is just a piece of what a lot of people around the world are doing to advance Bitcoin and now Noster. I believe that it's going to be one of the revolutionary tools that change the way we live because of Bitcoin it's so silly at the same time for you and I to be the ones to do it. So yeah, it was like the fourth wall broke, fell down, whatever the saying is. And I had to be like, yeah, I'm leaving to go do something really big and crazy, but I think it's going to work. And you can join the revolution too. Sign up. Sign up for updates.
Like and subscribe.
No, like zaps only. So before we get into explaining what Next Block is, why selling your attention will be revolutionary and free us all. What time is it, babe?
The current time is 882-191, and we're approximately 1,121 blocks since our last recording.
And if I gave you $1, how many acres could I get on sunny Bitcoin Island?
So at the time of recording, you can get 980 acres, aka Satoshis, on sunny Bitcoin Island.
Yeah, and if you are new to the pod or don't quite understand what we're talking about, so there is a finite number of Bitcoin that will ever exist. And we call that Bitcoin Island. And we like to think of it as acreage. So when you spend $1, how many acres can you get on Bitcoin Island? And through the years, as we've been recording this, that number has gone down. So we are sub 1,000 acres, which basically means $1 gets you less than 1,000 Satoshis. So that conversion rate gets a little easier to do as time goes on. But I did have someone tell me that Bitcoin was down this morning, and I did not say anything when it went back up.
they're always going to say, like, you know, oh, but isn't it down? It's like, yes, from some point in the past, it is down.
Yes, sure. If it's not at an all-time high.
Yeah, if it's not an all-time high, it's down from some point in the past. Yes. That's so funny. You could be like, yes, it's down from yesterday, like whatever.
And it's down. And this obviously it's very volatile, Ian.
Yeah, it's so volatile that I don't work anymore.
And as of today, me too.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M-Pub. And just start with that.
All right. So picture this. Your coworker calls you, tells you, hey, I decided I'm quitting. What? What do you mean? What are you going to do? What? And they tell you, actually, I'm starting a social media company. How would you react?
Depends on the coworker.
Actually, today also one of my aunts was like in the big family chat, like, hey, what's up, everyone? What's new? And I was like, actually, I'm going to quit my job today. And I made the announcement. And then, you know, it was just follow-up questions from my relatives. But a lot of my family members are entrepreneurs. And so they were like, you can do it. You got this. But I'm not quite sure they understood the idea or anything like that.
They don't have to. They believe in you.
They don't. It's just wonderful. So supportive. But yeah, it's been a pretty good day. It's been good feedback, good positive feedback. I wish somehow Billboard existed and I could be like, this is the company. Go here. But unfortunately, I have a lot of work to do before we get to that point. So quitting was necessary. I think the question that everyone always has is like, how are you going to make money? How is this going to make money? Why do you think this isn't going to fail, right? Isn't that where your brain would go if you heard that someone is quitting their job to start their own company?
That is usually the question that anyone asks.
Yeah, it's the fair question to ask. And so how are we going to make money, Ian?
We make money by operating a market. When you're seeing an ad, fundamentally, the platform that you're watching the ad on has sold your attention to an advertiser. So if you're on YouTube and you're watching an ad, fundamentally, Google has sold your attention to whoever is watching that ad. What you don't know is how much they sold your attention for. You don't know any of the pricing mechanisms of how they sold your attention, but that was your attention, right? So at Next Block, what we're aiming to do is enable you, the citizens of Next Block, to price and sell your attention. When you sell your attention to an advertiser, you are in control of, do I want to see that? Do I want to see that again? But the advertiser also knows that you watch the ad. So it makes a better experience for both sides. How we earn money is that we operate that marketplace. So advertisers pay to put ads into the network and we take a cut.
Yeah, it's a very honest business model and it lets everyone decide for themselves who gets your attention. So on social media, generally, you're just giving away your attention for free right now. But on Next Block, you'll have the option to opt in every 10 minutes or so when there's a new Bitcoin block to get matched up with an ad that's going to pay you out what you've set for the price of your attention. You'll then be able to also experience what it is to give away your attention for free versus getting paid for it. And I think you yourself will value your attention more as well. You know, our thought was, you know, this is a no-brainer for both people in this experience. But who is going to actually give us money are the advertisers, right? And so if we're talking about it from a business perspective, like, why did we think that we could operate a business and do well enough to, at minimum, you know, fund our lifestyle? So let's break down like how advertising works on legacy social media versus how it's going to work on Nextblock. So legacy social media right now, it's hard to measure your return on investment when you buy an ad to know, like, did this ad work? How many people actually liked it? How many people really saw it? You get impressions and things like that, but it's not necessarily clear. On Nextblock, it's an opt-in ad experience. So you either opt out and say, I don't want to watch ads, or you opt in and you watch the full ad to get paid. And so you only, as an advertiser, are spending your campaign budget when someone has watched the entire ad. After they've watched, they get asked, do you want to watch this ad again? Or do you not want to watch this ad again? And do you not want to watch anything from this brand again? And so giving you two different ways to opt out from them. So this gives you really, really strong data. It tells you how many people have actually seen your advertisement. That's the completion rate. There's your views metric. And then it tells you how many people said, I don't want to see this ad again. Then you find out how many people said, I don't want to be advertised by this person anymore. I don't even care if they're paying me. I don't want to see it. That is real, measurable, honest data that we can't even manipulate if we wanted to.
We can't manipulate it, and it gives advertisers an equal playing ground. It doesn't matter how much money you're spending at that point. Your opt-out rate should normalize after a certain amount of time, whether you're spending $50 or $50 million.
Yeah, there's a lot of manipulation that can be done in a centralized model, right? We believe that that's the biggest thing that we have to offer advertisers. But there's so many more things that are happening right now in legacy social media that really is not to the benefit of advertisers. So there's a lot of ad fraud. So there are bots and other like fake accounts that give you fake clicks and impression that makes it really hard to track engagement. And ultimately, you're wasting your advertising budget. And what advertisers want is just authentic engagement. They want to foster genuine connections that are meaningful, because that will actually help them develop a relationship with their customers. So on Nextblock, only real people will get paid to watch ads. We will require Strike accounts, which is a Bitcoin wallet that requires KYC. And so to be paid to watch ads, you will have to be a real person. And that is the way that we are going to go about this. There is an added step to joining the Nextblock ad experience. But we think that that is the easiest way to say, no, we are all real people in this. These are real people that are selling their attention. You can buy their attention. And when you send them money, you will know that you're sending it to a real person and not a bot.
And the Strike requirement also ends up creating a quote unquote social media company where everyone's an adult. So Strike, you need to be 18 years old to create a Strike account, which means you got to be 18 years old to be on Nextblock.
Moving over to another pain point, which is content overload. So right now, there are just so many ads coming at you on social media, whether it is a sponsored post or someone's putting an advertisement inside their post, you're just getting bombarded constantly. And so that content overload makes it difficult to actually capture someone's attention, which is all an advertiser is trying to do. Like, can you just look at something for 15 seconds? On Nextblock, you're opting in to watch. So it's not this like, hey, I'm going to catch you. I'm going to trick you to watch this ad. It's nope, you've opted in. So when there's a new block on the Bitcoin blockchain, you'll get offered up an ad to watch. Even then, you can opt out of it and you don't even have to watch it. Once you hear the Nextblock idea, go into an app you use all the time. Just start counting how many ads you see. Just keep swiping and scrolling. How many ads you see in the first minute. We have lost track of how many ads we watch. We used to watch them every 10 minutes or so on television. I love the idea of us seeing if we can all get back to that cadence. Just saying, I only watch an ad every 10 minutes or so. That's it. Every other thing I watch, I've decided to put in front of me.
And it also makes you second guess or rethink the apps where they are bombarding you. Because if you know what the price of your attention is worth on platform A, and then you see 20 ads on platform B, you're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute.
How much money are you making off of me?
Exactly.
Yeah. Why am I not getting a cut? Something that we've already talked about that happens is this overload that's coming at us makes us hate the advertiser. It makes us hate the brands, these like well-meaning businesses that are just trying to promote themselves. Advertising, one of its goals is positive brand perception. You are literally buying goodwill if you are saying, hey, I do believe that we're all getting exploited on this other model. And I believe that paying you directly for your attention is an honest and transparent way for me to buy your attention and get your attention. And so you're immediately building this positive association by being, and I will say on Next Block Billboard, you will be one of the first companies to wait for consent and then pay someone to watch an ad. And that in and of itself is revolutionary. So if you're a company that wants to just participate in that to say, I believe in this, and I believe that this is how things should be done, not only for the citizens of Next Block who will be using this app and watching ads, but for any company, business, person who wants to promote themselves, for them to be able to do so in a free marketplace. So let me get off my soapbox and get back to all the things we're fixing. So there's ad waste, right? Like in legacy social media, you don't know necessarily if you're reaching the right audience, and it can lead to wasted impressions. And what advertisers want is to avoid ad waste. They don't want to advertise to someone who's not interested in their product. On legacy social media or the internet in general, there's this lie that's been told that like, oh, we will data harvest and find out who's who. And then you tell us who you want to market to, and then we'll show those people your stuff. So much nonsense, so many assumptions. Whereas on Next Block, it is a self-selected audience. So our proof of concept, which is Billboard, that is aimed to come out May 1st, will likely be tested by those who are at minimum curious about Bitcoin and Nostra Industries. So we know that like at first that will be kind of the general audience. If those are the type of people that you're reaching, you'd be able to reach them. But for any company, anything that wants to get promoted, the opt-out capability is what avoids waste. You're allowing people to opt out from seeing your ads again. So instead of you having to say, like, I think I'm trying to reach women in this age range, in this location. No, let the people tell you. You don't know who would be interested in your stuff versus who wouldn't. And I've been targeted for ads all the time where I'm like, why are they showing me this?
Somebody's ad algorithm messed up.
Yeah, and they just completely are wasting ad dollars on me.
But they got paid.
They got paid, though. The company is the only one that suffered. And then finally, legacy social media is ruled by algorithms. Those social media platforms, they affect the reach of your content and make it harder for you to get noticed by potential companies. And so what advertisers want is high reach and visibility to effectively reach a relevant and large audience. And so on Next Block, we have a transparent marketplace. So unless you've specifically opted out, you have equal access to anyone's attention as long as you're willing to pay for their attention. So we can't give you the secret formula to go viral. But what we can do is let you get in front of people and you take your best shot, offer up as much money as you think you need to get in front of people's faces. If they like what they see, theoretically, they would follow you. They would purchase whatever you're offering. You know, like that's the most that we can do. Anyone who is really promising you anything else is lying to you. What we are presenting is at least worth trying. If I was an advertiser and I had an advertising budget, this would seem to me more like a better use of my money than throwing it at a legacy social media company.
It's funny that you framed it like that, because right now we're in a period of time where everyone understands that cable is dead, right? Like no one will debate that. If you have cable, they're like, okay, you still have cable, right? But what people aren't truly understanding is that that's where social media is right now, right? Like it's at its peak and it's dying. And no one knows what that death looks like from a peak. It'll be obvious in like 5 or 10 years for sure. But what we're trying to do is say, okay, assuming that it's dying, what's going to replace it? What's the thing that comes after it? Perhaps it's just a better version of itself where it can fund itself in a more honest and transparent way. And so it doesn't fall victim to the like algorithm concept and the influence of money in the network and all that fun stuff. Perhaps if we remove that capability, then it won't manifest itself. It won't show up. And we can have just an honest marketplace. And the other cool thing about what Next Block's attention marketplace will be able to do is, you know, I had a call before we started recording with, his name is Quex. He's an artist that's become very popular on the Nostr, you know, the Nostr niche,
Yeah, he's made a song for the Flirting with Bitcoin podcast called Nasser City. It's kind of the theme song of our show.
Yeah, so the music that's playing when the show opens and the music that plays during the interlude, like that's the song, that's Quex. When we were talking, he was expressing that he was having trouble promoting some things that he was doing, knowing that he wants to promote them to Bitcoiners and the Nostr community. He's like, it's not there yet. He was just saying that it's not really there for him to promote things. He's like, I got to be doing it manually. Like, I got to be on Nostr posting all the time, right? Because there really isn't a way to get your message out there on Nostr for two reasons. One, there's no algorithm. So when you post it, it's only the people that are online at that moment that have even really a chance to see it unless they scroll back at a later date. But also, like, there aren't that many people and it's kind of international. So like you got like different time zones where it's just dead. Mm-hmm. And so what Nextblock is proposing, the attention marketplace, is when those people wake up after the dead time zones on the planet, if you're someone who wanted to promote something, well, an ad is the way that is time zone agnostic, right? Ads are how, and these promoted notes, as I'm calling them in the code, right? These promoted notes, they can be surfaced to you at a later date, but someone paid to put it there. A great example I will give, open up Twitter any day of the week, and the first thing you will see is from Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to even scroll. It's usually the top three things that you see every time I open it. Now, obviously, I follow Elon Musk. That influences some of it.
How embarrassing.
I'm not embarrassed. At the same time, you look at the amount of engagement that his post has, and it's very obvious that his post is being shown to the majority of the people because of the algorithm.
Yeah. And this is something that's happening on other Nostr apps right now. You have certain accounts that are encouraged to be followed to get started. And so it could be an algorithm. It could be a well-meaning like onboarding onto an app.
So if Elon wanted to do that on Nextblock, he would have to pay.
Yeah.
And that's the point. Is that there's no algorithm. If Elon wants to make sure that everyone sees what he posted, he can do that. He can pay to do that. And then we all decide if his money is worth it. If someone offered more money than him, then we don't see his thing until that other person who offered more is worth it. You're not getting that type of control on what you see on these other platforms. Especially now that, like, I mean, I don't know how active Mark Zuckerberg is on Facebook. I don't think he's posting on Instagram, but like, Elon is on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He's like starting Twitter beefs on Twitter. Like, he's beefing with video gamers. He's beefing with CEOs of companies. He's beefing with like countries. Like, he just uses Twitter as his like argument playground. And because of the algorithm, we all have to see it. On Nextblock, you could say, Elon, even if you'll give me the money, I don't want to see what you're posting. That's the control that you'll have on Nextblock.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an amp up and just start with that.
Okay, so we have this idea. We had this idea and Ian and I said, all right, well, we got to build the proof of concept for it. We have to build this app to show that this will actually work, because the ultimate goal is for us to design something that can then be made open source and people can use it on their own apps. They can put it on their own websites. Like, this just be the ad experience of the internet. Yes, this is like a very big idea, but this, we think it's possible. We think that what we just laid out works better than what already exists. And the technology allows for this model to work and for it to be fairly simple to operate and for people all around the world to use it. And so how do we get from like point A to point, I don't know, F, Z, who knows? We have to build a social media app. Like Ian has said, on Nostr, there's no algorithm. And so then how do you see cool stuff when you go on the internet? And we have designed something where you are placing yourself into different spaces to see what you want to see, rather than just being in one place and an algorithm sending you stuff. I think those features are really cool. And you can see those features at joinnextblock.com/features. It's a whole episode to talk about those. We've already talked about them. And it's not coming anytime soon, because before we launch our social media app, we have to launch our proof of concept for the attention marketplace. So it's like, to prove the concept, you need the social media app. But before you have the social media app, you need to prove the concept.
Something like that. Yeah.
This is the nonlinear path of, I think, revolutionary applications. Ian had this genius idea for us to create something called Billboard. So the actual ads that you see on Nextblock are on a billboard. Like as you're walking through a city, the billboard is the ad that pops out in your face. And so billboard is going to be where Nextblock is going to first advertise what Nextblock is, what the whole project is, and say, hey, watch these ads, learn what Nextblock is, and we're going to pay you. And to let someone experience for the first time getting paid to watch ads. After that, we'll say, all right, cool. Do you want to opt into the attention marketplace and watch ads from our sponsors? And anyone that wants to sponsor Nextblock can put ads into billboard. You know, we take that hosting fee and people can earn money to watch ads. And that can be how they can support our project. And they can also just experience this different ad experience and see what it could be like if every 10 minutes you came in, you watched an ad and you earned some money.
The idea of billboard is actually an homage to the $1 million homepage from the early 2000s. If you haven't heard of it, just Google it. But the basic idea is that this guy created a website, 1,000 by 1,000 pixels, and he sold each pixel for $1. And if you wanted to draw some kind of like pixel art as an ad, you'd have to buy like, you know, 10 by 10 or 100 by 100 and then draw your pixel art. And he managed to raise $1 million doing this. And so we're doing that same concept where we're trying to raise money by quote unquote selling ads to do a thing. But that thing that we want to do is that same business model. We just want to scale up what you're doing. With Nextblock billboard, what we are trying to accomplish is getting the flywheel started for this double-sided marketplace. We need people selling their attention and we need people that are willing to buy attention. If we don't have enough data from both of those sides, then we won't be able to honestly say like, okay, this is the average price of attention, or, you know, this is how much attention we sold last block or whatever, right? Like we need to see this process working over some period of time so that when we do launch Nextblock Social, it's not, hey, are you sponsoring a Noster client? It's no, you're buying an ad in an ad network and there's certain expectations of what you're going to get. With billboard, no expectations. You're part of the experiment, right? But I believe that experiment, it's better than what we're currently experiencing. And we just need to find a place to put that into. And we've decided to put it into a TikTok-like experience. And when we say it's literally the users that are the algorithm, like all we are doing, all our job as me as a developer at Nextblock and Mandana as the chief evangelist visionary of the social
the Steve
experience.
Steve Jobs of Nextblock. Yeah, she's is what the Jobs. Ian likes to call me.
She's the Jobs. I'm the Wozniak. Like our job is to just constantly give you that reaffirmation that like we are running an honest, transparent, fair marketplace so that when you do have something that you want to promote, you know that I can go to this place and it's fair.
Yeah. One of the things that I've been really trying to figure out is like, where does Nextblock fall in the existing social media world? There are a lot of apps that want to be that one place that you're in all the time. And I don't want that for Nextblock. I want it to be really, and I know this is what Twitter thought it was, but I really want it to be the town square where you're making public announcements. This is the public facing side of you. Where you can go and post things that you would want to get paid for. So the reason I say that is because on Nextblock, you will be able to tap a whole user base. We want to call them citizens, not users. It's a base of citizens who are earning money in this app. And so it's not necessarily that they're earning money for their livelihood. They're earning magical internet money to be able to spend it out to content creators, to thank them for the creator things that they're creating, to pay them directly, and to not have to rely on an intermediary to decide, oh, well, you got this many views, so we're going to pay you this much this month, unless next month we change the rules and we're going to change how much we pay you, you know, all of those things. So I see Nextblock as the place that if you want to be a content creator or a business that's promoting yourself, all of those things, that's where you go. And if you're someone who wants to consume those things, that's where you go. There will be other apps for other things, but I think that that's what Nextblock will serve. Also, Noster is public. There's no like, oh, only my friends can see this on Noster. And so I think because there's this lie of privacy on these other apps, we are just sharing way too much information on social media. And so sometimes I'm on, you know, Instagrams and I'll do the close friend stories. That's usually what I post on if I'm posting anything. And I'm just like, this will never work on Nextblock. I'll never be able to post private things on Nextblock because everyone will be able to see it and I won't want that. And there's a part of me that's like, that sucks. And then another part of me is like, that's okay. We do not need to use social media the same way that we've always used it. Social media is like a very powerful tool to connect people and ideas. And it does not need to be where we are connecting very closely and intimately with our family and friends.
Take that stuff to Signal.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's also a side of it that I've been thinking about where it's like, let's be very transparent about what this is. This is an attention marketplace where I'm coming in to decide what do I want to look at for free and possibly zap, and what do I want to get paid for? That honesty is going to also change what we give our attention to. So I'm really excited about it. And I think that the more that I talk about it, the more that I evangelize myself, and I believe that this will work, but I wanted to just bring it back to Bitcoin a bit. The only reason we were able to do any of this is because Bitcoin is what it is. It's really funny because it's like, imagine I didn't have that much conviction about Bitcoin, but somehow the price was doing that so well that I was like, cool, at least I can quit my job. But the conviction I must have to also have a company that's going to be using Bitcoin technology as its currency. Something that Ian said is like, we just have to live it and for people to see how we're able to live because of Bitcoin. And this was a big one. This was a big one where, you know, people were like, I don't understand, like you're quitting your job. What is this company you guys are starting? You know, a very like, huh? Why don't you want job security? You know? And I was like, I do have security. It's called Bitcoin.
The concept of job security, if after the past 5 years, people should really reevaluate that. In good times, when everyone's doing well, yeah, like there's some sense of job security. But when the churn comes, there is no loyalty to employees. Like they will let you go on a Friday. They don't give you 2 weeks notice. They don't treat you with any type of quote unquote dignity. I will say there's always the like generous severance packages that some people are offered or whatever. But even still, it's like, what if I don't want to leave?
It's
like,
very destabilizing.
Yeah. So, you know, the idea of job security as like a stabilizing force is like, okay, are we just in a good window of time where it appears like it's secure? I literally started a new job the day they like locked down the country, the United States. I was working from home before that. I was working from home. Like nothing changed for me per se. We as software in the software engineering industry, we had been arguing for this type of lifestyle for a very long time. We've been saying like, especially engineers, like we don't need to go into an office. It's actually a waste to put a bunch of engineers to like get a bunch of engineers to go somewhere because we're already pretty technologically literate. So like we can organize very easily over computers.
Right.
You know how many meetings I tried to go to at my last job? And it was like, oh, the conference room is booked. You got to like do a lap around the whole building to find another room. And it's like, then you just give up and sit in the cafeteria because you're like, I don't feel it's not more efficient in the office, but there's more control over you in the office. When people are saying job security, it's like, yeah, you're trading some control of your life for that security. And what Bitcoin does is it breaks that relationship where you can actually save money to change your situation. You don't always need to work for someone. And I think, you know, me being in Bitcoin a little bit before we started the podcast, I'm just a little bit ahead of you. But this between like me quitting my job and you quitting your job, like this is probably the shortest amount of time that you've like done the same action or like you're like catching up, like you're accelerating. And now it's like, okay, well, we're both doing our own thing. We don't have a boss and whatever we want to create or do, there's no one that we have to ask except, I guess, Keon.
I was gonna say we have to ask Keon and then we have to ask our parents
if they
can watch Keon.
Yeah. But like,
but other than that, no bosses.
Yeah, but other than that, no bosses. One of the things that I've learned from Bitcoin, not even from Bitcoin, just on my Bitcoin journey in general, is there's a tremendous amount of value in a family business. I would say farms are like the ultimate family business. Like in theory, you got to have the land, but once you have land, it's like, okay, you just need seeds and you just kind of go from there. Family businesses gives family security. And what happened during COVID is that the people who did have the family businesses that were relatively secure and were feeding their families, they're the ones that were hit with a lot of insecurity, right? They had to close their businesses in some cases or comply with a bunch of rules that just made their businesses impossible to operate. Meanwhile, other people's, I'll say businesses or jobs became easier because of work at home. And so we had this duality in society where it's like, some people are like, this is great. Like, we're liking this. Mm-hmm. And other people are like, no, this is not. I think if more people had family businesses and were running their own business, they would have saw the problems a lot faster because they would have been experiencing them. Now it's just coming to like corporate world.
Yeah. One of the observations I made last week was that my friends that work at small and mid-sized businesses are generally like, business as usual. Yeah, we're worried about the economy, but business as usual. And everyone that works at a large organization is like, I don't know what we're going to do. So yeah, this is a good reminder that these big corporations, like you said, we are just a number to them at the end of the day, but their business models are failing so much so that they keep having to lay off thousands of people. So yeah, we need to go back to small businesses, family businesses. And I think this one is going
to
work.
Yeah. I say it to Keon every morning. I drive him to your parents' house.
This is going to work.
I just turn around sometimes like, buddy, it's going to work. And he's just like, if I'm playing music or Miss Rachel or something, he's just like, all right, turn the music back up. But yeah, it's going to work.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M-Pub. And just start with that.
All right, babe. Quick, Satoshi, for your thoughts.
Okay.
Can you believe your wife quit her job today?
You know, okay. So when you were like educating me to TikTok and, you know, making your case for like why TikTok is what it is and all that fun stuff, I never disagreed with you, right? Like, I don't disagree with your thesis on TikTok, but I'm a YouTube Shorts guy. Right? That's like the joke, right? Like, you're TikTok, I'm YouTube Shorts, except you don't have TikTok right now. So guess I'm winning. But there's a guy that I watch on YouTube Shorts that got famous on TikTok. And he then got banned because his content was, you know, anti-woman or whatever. But he's the now you're a single mom mm-hmm. guy. Okay. Literally, I want to say yesterday or this morning, I don't know which one it was, but it's within the last 24 hours, he put out a video where he's making fun of this like brand of content where it's like, bro, what do you mean your wife works? Bro, if your wife works, like, what do you mean you didn't I'm telling you, babe, he made the video.
You didn't retire your wife?
Yeah. Like,
I've seen videos like that before.
But like, he's like making a parody of mm-hmm. it, right? And so like when he was doing it and I knew you were about to quit, I was like, that's funny. None of the content he's ever made has been targeted towards me. And then the minute he like made something remotely targeted towards me, it's like, nope, she did quit.
You're like, I just retired my wife.
You're not talking about me.
You didn't say, babe, quit this job so you have more time. You said, babe, we need you full time on Next Block.
Okay, let's get a little bit deeper into it. I remember us in the apartment talking about you not going back to work after having a kid.
Yes, yes. You always wanted to make sure I had that possibility.
So
I just to be clear, we're still using our childcare.
Sure. Okay, it's like what? Keon's two, so 2 years later. Mm-hmm. But fundamentally, the plan is still the plan.
It is the plan. The right? plan is to be together, spend more time together, and not have anyone take me away from my baby.
Which is awesome. I don't get much more time with Keon than you, but even those like car rides in the morning and picking him up in the afternoon, it's still like,
I was doing that before you quit.
I know that we're driving him over there so that we can eventually reach this goal. And even after you're officially done, like, we'll still be doing that so we can get this started as well. But we decide if we're going to do a thing that requires us to drop Keon off. So if it's a Wednesday and we're just like, we're taking a day off.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just a family day, right? We don't have any calls. We don't have any meetings. Let's go to the museums, right? Like, we can live that life now where neither one of us has to account for some third party that is not part of our family.
It's very exciting. It's unbelievable. I can't wait to see where this all takes us. I know we have a path laid out, but who knows where the future will take us. And I'm just so grateful to anyone that cared enough to listen to this whole episode to hear like what the hell we're doing.
I think the path is going to be awesome. Once you get like 3 months out of it, you know, like your brain will readjust to the reality that it is. But I think that you are probably one of the more qualified people to attempt to do what we're about to do. because I think you're one of the few people that knows a lot about TikTok and what it is and what it does and the possibilities of Noster. And I think we just have enough of a window in front of everyone else that's eventually going to make that decision to switch, where if we can solve this one problem, maybe Nextblock as the social media app doesn't become like super popular or famous or whatever. It doesn't matter if everyone takes and uses the attention marketplace in whatever they build, right? So we have like two paths to success. Normally in like the tech startup world, you kind of have like, we need to hit this KPI to get this next round of funding. It's a lot to think about, but it to me just seems so clear that we are on the right path and you quitting was just part of that. So am I surprised or whatever? No, like it was inevitable. Maybe we had to wait, you know, another however many years until you retired.
Well, if we're talking about years, this episode is going to go out on our fourth anniversary of marriage. So it's our having. So in one having, we both quit our jobs.
That is Thursday, right?
And had a baby. Let's see what happens in one more having.
That's a crazy 4 years. Wow.
Here's to many, many more havings, babe. I love you.
I love you too.
Get the power back. Get the freedom back. Get an M pub. And just start with that.